and gentlemen, welcome to the premiere broadcast of The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day. It's Sunday, April 16th, 2006, broadcasting live from the Sonora Desert of southern Arizona. The Light of Day is brought to you by me. I will provide you with a description of myself. I am 35, a Gemini, a truck driver, and have been independently researching the UFO phenomena for approximately 15 years now, and this broadcast will be devoted to trying to better understand the UFO phenomena and to expose the cabal who are responsible for concealing this information from the human race. I'm a native of Wisconsin, by the way. I am absolutely convinced that reality as we know it is a grand illusion and that you are being lied to on a continuing basis. The so-called alien presence is real, ladies and gentlemen. Throughout our universe, there are good and bad beings just like there is on our own civilization. Our universe is premised in a polarized matter, in other words, good can't exist without bad and vice versa. Most of the beings visiting our planet, though, are positively oriented and are very concerned of us, so concerned, as a matter of fact, that they have secured our nuclear missiles from being discharged at underground installations numerous times. The vast majority of the stuff Hollywood shows you is a psychological warfare operation designed to condition the sheeple's mindsets a certain way so that they will support a weaponization of space, which in the Pentagon's latest budget request tops $1 billion. In addition to that, the black budgeted projects could spend $1.7 billion. We must not support any such policy, ladies and gentlemen. Now, during the course of these broadcasts, I will be interviewing some very controversial guests, some of which have been on the Coast to Coast program, by the way. This website has a very small audience, and I highly encourage you to tell others about my show so this website can grow. We will eventually be taking callers as soon as Chris, who is one of the three founders of this online radio station, is configured to do so. I'm also a lover of science fiction music, and I decided to use the main theme from the Battlestar Galactica TV series from the late 70s to open the broadcast. Now, this broadcast will be devoted to exposing the UFO phenomena, but other topics will be entertained here. We will discuss weather control, mind control, 9/11 being an inside job, secret underground facilities that don't exist but really do, secret space shuttle flights deploying SDI payloads, which are being used to target incoming benevolent star visitor vessels, cabal operatives being used to carry out alien abductions, vaccinations, the agenda of the New World Order, and how their programs are designed to enslave the human race, and many other things. Most of this stuff is all interconnected. Now, if you're not interested in this stuff and it upsets the little box that you're accustomed to living in, go somewhere else. This broadcast is for folks who are seriously interested in this issue. The Light of Day was chosen by a friend of mine over in Los Angeles, and he's Anthony J. Hilder, the granddaddy in the New World Order movement. He is currently working on a number of film productions, and I just talked to him today. He's working on, about 20 of them. And his website is freeworldalliance.com. We'll also be talking about concentration camps in America, chemtrails, secret bases on the moon and Mars, etc., etc. Now, before the first hour is finished, I will bring on a man from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, by the name of UFO Bob, who has founded a yearly convention, which is held annually at Benson's Hideaway at the north end of Long Lake up in Dundee, Wisconsin. And this convention brings together a few hundred people from around the world to share their knowledge and experiences of the UFO phenomena. And at the end of the convention, UFO Bob summons in benevolent extraterrestrial starcraft vessels by telepathy. So we'll bring him on about 45 minutes into the show. And I can attest to being a witness to this stuff because I have gone to two or three of the conventions myself. And I'll be going back in July. Now, in order for me to get used to doing a talk radio show, I will be reading a few things tonight of newsworthy note. The first thing I want to mention is that a declaration of war by our good old Bush has been issued against Iran as of March 16th of last month. Now let me repeat that. President Bush has issued has been a declaration of war has been issued against Iran as of March 16th of last month. Congress will next pass House Resolution 282 entitled the Iran Freedom Support Act, sponsored by Congresswoman Ileana Ross Lehtinen of Florida, along with 355 co-sponsors of the bill, another typical traitor. The Senate version is Senate Bill 333. This act is designed to hold the current regime in Iran accountable for its threatening behavior and to support a transition to democracy in Iran. Now, I have a bill that describes plans to go into Iran, dated March 12th of 2003, Senate Resolution 82, 108th Congress, first session, and U.S. Senator John Kyle, who represents me here in Arizona, is one of the sponsors. So this has been in the works for a long time, ladies and gentlemen. The executive declaration also makes it clear that the U.S. will use nuclear weapons in the war against Iran. Go to rense.com, R-E-N-S-E.com, and read this article. Now, I can assure you that our visitors from the Star Nations are watching this intensely, and we all must pray for the Star Nations to perpetuate their concern in these very dangerous plans the Cabal are attempting to carry out. The Cabal, the shadow government, if you will, are actually reptilian, negatively oriented creatures who have incarnated into this existence, who are a service to self-philosophy and have nothing better planned than to enslave the human race. Here's another thing. Go to jordanmaxwell.com, that's jordanmaxwell.com, for this, folks. The British Israel World Federation Movement's Destiny magazine, excuse me, back in the late 1930s, this magazine published articles identifying September of 2001 as a target date for beginning their planned global theocratic state, a kingdom of heaven on earth, if you will. So 9/11 was in the works for a long time also. Another article pulled off LiveScience.com entitled Wild Tornado Season, Expect More. As of Friday, April 7th, there had been 445 so far this year, but that's a little higher now after Iowa got hit on Thursday and the activity in Nebraska yesterday. The same time last year, only 96 were reported, so that's almost a 400% increase, ladies and gentlemen. Now, based upon where the HAARP technology is postured at up in Gakona, Alaska, in the Terawatt regime in connection with its global network of weather control apparatuses, you can assume with a high degree of certainty that this is a weather control program. I predict that the tornado season this year will be incredible. I also predict that the hurricane season this year will make Katrina and Rita look like ants on a sidewalk. Ladies and gentlemen, weather warfare is the newest methodology being employed against the human race to accelerate the agenda being carried out by the Cabal. Now, what better way to declare a war against mankind is there than to declare one whereby no signature or fingerprint of the crime is available for the public to scrutinize? And I possess the documentation to corroborate my claim that weather control programs are a fact and have been in the works for a very long time. A highly credentialed physicist by the name of Professor James McCanney, who occasionally appears on the Coast to Coast AM radio show and has his own radio show online, was working with Russian atmospheric scientists at a university over there in the mid-1990s. And Mr. McCanney and the Russians gave to the United States Air Force technology so they could maneuver hurricanes away from shore and to diminish their energy. Now, the Air Force is using this to drag hurricanes into the Caribbean, and Katrina and Rita were manipulated hurricanes. When Rita hit, Bush was sitting at the U.S. Space Command in Colorado Springs, and this is where they operate these Air Force satellites from, which use lasers, by the way, to vector these hurricanes around. So, in essence, we are being attacked by our own military. Read Bill Cooper's book, Behold a Pale Horse, and read the chapter on silent weapons for quiet wars. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, even issued a report back in early 2001, stating that a hurricane striking New Orleans was one of the three most likely disasters in the U.S., including a terrorist attack on New York City, and thirdly, an earthquake in San Francisco. Now, you must question this, ladies and gentlemen. How would they know this in advance? Because two of those likely disasters in the report have already come true. Just bear with me here a second, folks. A man named Richard Hoagland, who is a frequent guest on Coast to Coast also, has scientific proof on his captain's blog section from September 24th of last year, with proof from NEXRAD radar data 12 days before Hurricane Katrina struck. Radar data 12 days before Hurricane Katrina struck. And the data indicates that Katrina was an artificially manipulated hurricane. There is official U.S. government legislation, ladies and gentlemen, that exists to support my claims as well. Go check out House Resolution 6007, United Nations General Assembly Resolution 31/72, House Resolution 28, dated July 26, 1976. Senate Bill 517, introduced March 3, 2005. House Resolution 2995, introduced June 20th of last year. Senate Bill 1700, passed May of 2003, and on and on. How about Bush's statement September 2nd of last year from a U.S. Coast Guard hangar in Mobile, Alabama? This is what Bush said, quote, "It's as if the entire Gulf Coast were obliterated by the worst kind of weapon you can imagine." How about the 64th flight of the space shuttle back in September of 1994, whereby U.S. space shuttles are being utilized for space-based weather engineering and even mind control against the American population? An AP report, which is a mainstream news article, folks, carried in the September 11th, 1994, there's that date, September 11th. Evansville, Indiana Courier states that the shuttle Discovery utilized a powerful $25 million green laser, which flew for the first time, directed at key sections of North America and other parts of the globe. Pulses from the shuttle's laser bounced off thick, high clouds over a tropical storm in the first atmospheric study of its kind. Ground controllers directed the lasers at Tropical Storm Debbie in the Caribbean as the shuttle flew 160 miles overhead. And according to the information I have on Project HARP, it is into its last phase of development, called the Full Ionospheric Research Instrument Phase. In this stage, there is a maximum of 180 antenna elements, and it's scheduled for completion by the middle of this year, which means, ladies and gentlemen, that HARP, which will have the ability to selectively modify for military usage weather patterns anywhere in the world. Pleading contactee Billy Meyer also has information from our star visitor friends, the Pleiadians, that hurricanes will be released on the American continent. And you could go to theyfly.com to look into that. That's theyfly.com. Then you also have former Defense Secretary William Cohen's statement back on Monday, April 28, 1997, at a Department of Defense news briefing. Quote, "Others are engaging even in an echo type of terrorism, whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes, remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves." Now, let me repeat that. That's from former Defense Secretary William Cohen. "Others are engaging even in an echo type of terrorism, whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes, remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves." So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts, and that's why this is so important. End of quote. Now, the fourth item of business to discuss tonight deals with secret SDI payloads being placed into orbit by NASA's space shuttle program. For the sheeple out there, NASA stands for Never a Straight Answer. Project Zeus is the name given to define these covert efforts directed against the Greys by utilizing these Star Wars platforms orchestrated by Maggie, and it is reported that the alien presence became suspicious of the intense launch activity of NASA and the number of Department of Defense payloads being placed into orbit, more than would logically be needed to counter a nuclear strike by the USSR, that the alien presence, ladies and gentlemen, intercepted, boarded, and inspected the Space Shuttle Discovery's payload bay on March 13, 1989, during mission STS-29. They must have suspected the real purpose of the SDI program. Just for a side note, in the spring of 1998, Discovery Channel's going to be broadcasting, or back in spring of 1998, Discovery Channel broadcast a special called The Phoenix Lights. And on May 21st of next month, they will rerun on the Discovery Kids channel at 10:30 in the morning Pacific time, the Phoenix Lights documentary again, just for a side note there. You have to bear with me here, folks. Kind of in a hurry here before I got on air, so I'm... Okay, the third topic for tonight deals with fake alien abductions conducted by shadow government paramilitary operatives. And this information comes from a Dr. Richard Boylan, who has appeared on Coast to Coast AM. Numerous times. By Dr. Boylan, it should be noted that virtually all the lurid reports being palmed off on the public as examples of alien misbehavior are actually secret psychological warfare operations by human rogue military intelligence units. These renegade military intelligence units kidnap civilians without legal authorization or justification. These units then drug those they kidnap. Often experiencers. These renegades deliberately intimidate, interrogate, physically abuse, and even gang rape the civilians they kidnap. These covert operations military intelligence units then use brainwashing techniques to make the civilians they kidnap forget about the military kidnapping, while the renegades hypnotically implant a false memory about the horrific experience as an alien abduction. The Counselor for the Watchers, which is a member of the High Council of the Star Nations, has passed on the information that the Cabal have appropriated advanced false image technology and applied it to their vile military abduction purposes, which are faked alien abductions. Originally, the U.S. military developed advanced holographic image projection technology, which permits them to create three-dimensional lifelike images of, for example, roles of soldiers advancing forward for battle. These images are true to life, not like those cheesy holographic images in the earlier Star Wars movies, glowing with a bluish-white light. This new advanced technology allows the Army to create fake battalions on the march for Saddam Hussein or whomever to waste their battalions and tank columns on responding to, while the real U.S. military are actually conducting battle somewhere else. True to their duplicitous style, the Cabal let the U.S. taxpayer foot the enormous bill for DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and the Department of Defense to develop this exotic classified war technology. Then the Cabal stole this technology. Excuse me. The Cabal have applied this technology to several dark purposes. For one, the Cabal conduct psychological warfare operations on innocent civilians by projecting and having a realistic-looking 3D fake extraterrestrial visit a human person. This image can be blended with psychotronic thought projections into the head of the civilian victim, so she thinks the extraterrestrial is communicating with her. This visit is misused to give the victim menacing messages, and the Cabal can even beam false emotion-generating waves at the victim to make her think that the extraterrestrial is emitting cold or menacing vibes. If an even more intense terrifying experiences desired, the Cabal can render the victim unconscious by either psychotronics or sleeper gas, etc. And then Cabal special operatives invade her bedroom, haul her aboard one of the XH-75 D, as in Delta, stealth anti-gravity shark helicopters, whisk her away to a secure, usually underground facility, where she may be interrogated, threatened, abused, terrorized, gang-raped, drugged, and hypnotically programmed to misremember her ordeal as an alien abduction. She is then returned home to let the sleeper drug wear off. Voila. Another duped victim of alien abductions to go around spreading the word of how terrible the aliens are. This new unwitting propaganda agent costs the cabal nothing more and can mislead the public for years. For additional impact in their military abductions, cabal operatives use high technology, including anti-gravity tractor beams, to draw persons up into disguised, silent, hovering anti-gravity helicopters, which are masked as UFOs, which then take the victim to an installation made to seem like a UFO base so that the victim will become confused and blame the aliens for cabal kidnapping and abuse. In another operation, cabal operatives use this technology plus handheld lasers to lift up livestock, core out the livestock's organs, and drop them back on the pasture to create the negative propaganda impression that heartless aliens had been engaged in cattle mutilations. The cabal are working on perfecting this holographic technology further. This involves not only projecting high-grade three-dimensional holography, but also the stimulation of particles in the area of the image to give weight or substance to the images being projected. This is extremely difficult technology, and the cabal are stuck on this phase of development at the present and trying to figure out how to do that. There is yet another cabal purpose. From revelations by the late rocket scientist Wernher von Braun, it appears that the cabal wish to create three-dimensional holographic fake images of alien spacecraft which are solid enough to actually show up on radar and appear convincingly solid. Von Braun indicated that the cabal planned to stage a fake alien invasion. This would undoubtedly involve myriad fake UFOs in the skies, potentially coupled with destructive energy rays hitting Earth's targets. And this is a program, folks, called Project Bluebeam, which the late Serge Manast up in Canada, he had information on that. These energy blasts would actually originate from offensive weapon systems and placed in orbit in which the cabal would control or commandeer. It appears that the cabal may be trying to imitate and misuse star visitor technology. The counselor for the Watchers said that some of the Star Nation's starcraft utilize a much more advanced form of such technology to create false UFO images which throw off missiles fired at them by the military or cabal rogue units. While the missile is headed for the holographic UFO, the real starcraft can go to invisibility and escape. Once the real starcraft has made its exit, the illusory UFO is turned off and disappears from sight or radar screen. It should be noticed that star visitors use such holography only as a defensive measure if attacked. This is in sharp contrast to the cabal, who use their primitive version of such technology offensively to create fear, falsehood, terrorizing incidents, real victims of fake military abductions, and eventually faked alien invasions. The ultimate cabal objective is to place Earth under martial law, with cabal operatives gaining power as the only ones who can save humanity once they haul out of the closet their advanced energy weapons. These weapon systems are built from non-offensive scientific star visitor technology, stolen from government labs and weaponized at cabal labs. But of course, even such advanced cabal weapons would be neutralized by the real star visitors, who have no intention of invading Earth, having watched nurturantly over us since before our inception as an intelligent species. You are exhorted to spread awareness of the cabal duplicity and treachery, which has wreaked much harm and disinformation amidst the UFO community, and which threatens to try to stampede humanity towards hysteria and a panic which can be manipulated to support literal Star Wars. Forewarned is forearmed, and information is power. Going on to our next topic here. Involves these SDI payloads that are been placed into orbit by the space shuttle flights. You have to bear with me here, folks. Have kids, and it's not very easy to prepare for things like this at times. primarily, SDI is a weapon for use against the Greys' underground bases or any attempted invasion from space. However, to achieve funding from Congress and support from the public, and to conceal its real nature from the Greys, it had to be presented as a defense against a nuclear strike from Russia. The threat from the Greys is taken so seriously by Maggi that President Reagan adamantly refused any concessions on SDI. He continued to vigorously pursue its development and deployment. In spite of uninformed scientific and congressional opposition, these opponents never knew its real and intended purpose. To accomplish the true objectives of the SDI program, Maggi created under an ultra-secret project, Project Zeus. Project Zeus is revealed here for the first time, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. Project Zeus, created under the umbrella of Maggi, is charged with the real purpose, direction, management, development, and eventual deployment of the SDI weapon system. It was aptly named for the mythical Greek god Zeus, only this time it would be an angry Zeus hurling laser and particle beam lightning bolts into the heavens. Against an alien attack or deflected by mirrors against secret alien bases on the Earth. In 1984, President Reagan, in a public address, established the tone and seriousness of this endeavor when he deliberately or inadvertently let slip the remarks that the world may one day unite to fight a threat from outer space. This was followed by a series of subsequent remarks during the latter days of his term of office. Other intelligence data obtained by the Phoenix Project has contributed to this report I'm reading. Project Zeus. In 1980, Lieutenant General Daniel Graham, Department of Defense Strategic Analyst, stated, "We need a bold new approach. We must stop competing with the Greys in areas where we can't win, and begin to compete where we have the advantage." The result is a book by General Graham entitled The High Frontier and the National Security Agency, funded Project High Frontier. This project used some of the nation's best engineers and development scientists. This book and the project were the red herring technique to sell the concept and proposal to Congress, scientists, and the defense and aerospace industries. It supposedly was a bold new defense plan for the United States and Western civilization. This was followed by another book, The Strategy of Technology, by Stefan Passoni and Jerry Pournelle. It should be mentioned that neither of these two authors dreamed their book would be used to further promote the purposes of Maggi and Project Zeus. Its concept was to abandon the doctrine of mutual assured destruction in favor of assured survival in any conflict with Russia. The foregoing concepts and the secret efforts directed against the Greys, orchestrated by Maggi, were presented to President Ronald Reagan. That presentation was successful. On March 23, 1983, President Reagan made his famous Star Wars speech and labeled it the Strategic Defense Initiative. Only in later speeches, near the end of his term in office, did President Reagan publicly mention the possibility of a hostile encounter with extraterrestrials. The importance of this endeavor and the serious nature of the threat presented by the Greys and the consequences if Project Zeus were aborted explain why the president would not budge from his SDI position, even in the most critical of nuclear arms reduction negotiations with the USSR or critics in the scientific community and Congress. It also explains why President George Bush, still the head of Maggi, continued to press forward with the SDI project when he was in office. According to public statements by General James Abramson, SDI project director, SDI research has turned up five ways the weapon system could and should work. And then SDI is based on two technological discoveries. One, that ground-based lasers are a feasible and a likely way to defend a nation. Enormous lasers could be built near large hydroelectric plants and operational nuclear power plants, diverting the enormous output of these sources to laser weapons. With such enormous lasers and mirrors in orbit to redirect the energy, it would not be necessary to point and shoot such weapons. You could raster an entire target area. So sweeping the beam in a deadly conical pattern to eliminate any target. Planet-based laser weapons of such power could reach beyond the moon to engage and destroy hostile spaceships. 2. Development and deployment of high-powered particle beam weapons from orbiting space platforms and ground-based installations. MAGI's plans called for the funding, planning, development, testing, and operational aspects of Project Zeus to be concealed within the compartmented SDI program. NASA, without knowledge of the real purpose, would orbit the necessary tracking and data relay satellites, which were deployed by the Space Shuttle program, and Department of Defense payloads of laser mirrors. These SDI payloads were disguised and classified as military communication, spy, and navigational satellites. On April 4, 1983, Project Zeus got off the ground with a maiden flight of the Space Shuttle Challenger, a clear indication of the high priority this project commanded. The first of the SDI tracking and data relay satellites was placed in orbit. This was followed on August 30th of 1984 when the shuttle Discovery, on its maiden flight, launched SINCOM 4-2, the second communication satellite for the Department of Defense.